This is Bear Lee reporting from East Lake Street, where there's a huge fire over here. You're the first eyewitness on the scene. What can you tell me about this fire?
Oh, wow. Wow, you are really lucky to get me to do this interview. Oh, let me take that. Oh, man. I tell you, as soon as I saw the flames over there, I put on my sunglasses, these designer sunglasses. Not everybody has them. And my goodness, it protected my eyes. It protects my eyes.
Oh, what about the fire?
Well, what do you think? It was hot. Oh, man, I was so glad that I wore my Calvin Klein shirt. Oh, it helps me so that I don't get moisture, you know. I don't want to be around people all day if I'm smelling and sweaty.
Was there anybody trapped inside the fire?
Well, you know, I work at a place, and, you know, as we're going through the day, I'm at the water cooler, and people talk about me. I'm very important. And I tell you, they're very interested in me because I have a lot going on in life, and they're very happy with me, it seems like.
Well, this is Bear Lee reporting live from the fire. That's all we have from here. This is CLCC Radio tuning out.
Regarding John the Baptist, the other Gospels go to some length to report about his birth, the way he was dressed, the way that he baptized. John does not. John's got a different purpose. And in this purpose, John is wanting to demonstrate that what John the Baptist does is exactly what he is supposed to do. We must remember as we proceed through the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28 today, that he is writing always with the purpose that he stated in chapter 20 and verse 31. That he is writing these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing that you will have eternal life in his name. Today, John the Baptist is questioned as a witness to Christ. Before we get into that, I just would like to take a moment to calm Michiko's fears. I know that had to be a little bit tough, that Clark was worried about where his next meal was coming from. And I'm thoroughly convinced this is a six-year-old thing. I mean, and so I'm just going to try to hook Michiko up with Shelley Eggers, because she's done this three times, in which that every time that the boys seem to be about six, they're going to come out with something up here that you don't know where it came from. So just pray for Michiko as I talk to her and tell her to go talk to Shelley. As we're looking at John chapter 1 today, verses 19 through 28, hopefully we will see that the first thing we notice about John is that he answers who he is not. And turning our attention to John 1, verses 19 through 21. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." We can see here that John was out there, and within John, the writer of the gospel, reporting about John the Baptist, that he testified of Christ. This was John the Baptist's purpose. He's not talking about anything else about John. And these guys that are sent out, these priests and Levites, are sent out to question him. We know from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5 that he had gathered quite a crowd. There was quite a response to John and his ministry. And within this, they're sent out to inquire about John, about who he is. And we may think that they're kind of being a rude, nosy bunch, but actually, we should understand that this is part of the responsibility that they would have as the keepers, as the guardians of the faith of the Jews. And so they're sent out to inquire because they've got to see how this is compatible with the faith that they've been entrusted with. And so they're going out and they come to him with these questions. And they ask him the first question, are you the Messiah? And he says, no, I am not the Christ. Notice the progression here. Secondly, they're figuring, well, he looks, and we can only imagine he smells a lot like Elijah would have. He's doing some of the same things. Maybe this is Elijah. And he goes, no, I am not. And they come and they ask him again. He goes, well, are you the prophet? Deuteronomy 18:15 talks about how Moses is writing that there was a prophet coming that was greater than he. And so they ask themselves, they think among themselves, maybe this is it. And so they ask him, are you the prophet? No. Look at that progression of the answers. Are you the Messiah? I am not the Christ. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No. The farther away their questions get from Jesus Christ, the shorter his answers. John's not buying into the temptation to talk about himself because he knows the appointed role that he has, which is to testify of the one who is to come. John stays right on track with pointing everything to Jesus Christ and not to himself. Secondly, he answers from Scripture, verses 22 and 23. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. What an interesting comment we see here that you know at this point. These that are questioning John, trying to get an answer from him, who are you? Because they're a little bit upset that, hey, we've asked you, who are you? And you just don't give us an answer. John answers them with Scripture. John answers them. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. That he is the one crying, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Within this answer, you can tell that Isaiah is resisting the obvious. Well, who are you? Well, I am born son of Zechariah the priest who served before the Lord. I was filled with the Holy Spirit from my birth. Christian. Shh. Okay, thank you. And so as we are looking at developing this picture of John, he's telling them not to go ahead and tell about himself. He's looking, he avoids talking about himself, and instead he quotes Scripture. In here it says, make straight. And this is the idea of getting rid of all crookedness. What is crookedness? Well, it's sin. It's self-will. It's that self-delusion of thinking I'm doing the best I can and that's good enough. John is quoting Scripture and saying that he is the one that was sent to be the voice for the word that he is there in preparation. John knows that Jesus is the one to come. John knows he is the Word. John knows that he is just the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Now, of course, it certainly begs the question, why was he out in the wilderness? I mean, you would think he would go downtown Jerusalem. That's where the people are. Why wouldn't he be in the streets? Why wouldn't he be across the street from the temple? Because that's where the people are all going to congregate. Let's go there and tell them about this one who is coming. Why is John out in the wilderness? Well, as we go back into Ezekiel chapter 10, we can know that the presence of God has already left the temple. Thereby, the blessing of God has left as well, as the religion of the Jews went from something that had a spiritual essence to it to something that had just taken on religious formalism. And so John was making a very clear statement that what is going on there has nothing to do with the one who is coming. And so John, of necessity, as Isaiah prophesied, was one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Number three, notice here a little change that I've put in the outline. After I wrote it, which sometimes is early in the week, and I thought about it, and I shared it with Robin, and she says, "That's confusing." So I had to agree with her. So notice there that it says to recognize John is to recognize Jesus. If you're recognizing John came from God, then obviously you're going to recognize the same of Jesus. If you don't recognize John, you're going to have trouble recognizing Jesus. And so I certainly don't want there to be any confusion, but just a little clarity there. Okay, verses 24 to 28. Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This commission that was sent out of the Jewish authorities was continuing this same line of questioning. If you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, if you are not the prophet, then who's giving you any authority to baptize? In that day, the only baptisms that were really taking place were of Gentiles, as they would convert from pagan to being a follower of the one true God and would adapt the Jewish religion, they would be baptized. Now, there was a practice that for purposes of dedication, that people would sometimes engage in self-baptizing. This is a matter of demonstrating commitment to the Lord. But in terms of publicly, the only ones who were ever baptized were Gentiles. So here John comes along and he's baptizing all these Jews. This is something new. And because it is something new, we know that he has to give account to it to those in religious authority. And you can just sense the derision. You can sense the ridicule in their question. If you're not the Messiah, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, then what authority do you have to do what you're doing? I mean, this is just absolutely so human, is it not? That is just what title do you have to do what you're doing? You can really sense that they're really trying to put John down. Who do you think you are? And again, we can see that within this, John knew his role, which was to prepare the way for Christ. Again, he avoids talking about himself and instead points to Christ, and he just simply boils it down. I am insignificant. the one who comes after me is very significant. In fact, he is so much greater than I that it wouldn't even be reasonable for me to assume that I would be capable of doing the most simple task for him. Wow, the Spirit of John. Can you imagine in our day if we scrutinized everything good we were trying to do, and like John, we stopped to realize apart from the transforming power of Jesus Christ that is available to us, if we attempt to do anything in our own strength, it's going to fall to the ground meaningless. I think there's a real call here in this passage today for us to apply what John provides us for. It's this great example that when we are questioning about ourselves, what's significant about ourselves is Jesus Christ. Let's talk about him. Three little things that maybe we can take home that would help us do that. Number one, avoid the temptation to promote yourself. Attempts to help others. The little bit of good that we could do is going to be so blown away if in so doing it, we are basically setting ourselves up for, yeah, the rest of humanity is just a level below me because look what I'm doing. We all know how that comes across. It's terribly unpleasant. And it's also unfruitful. We need to put the focus not on ourselves, but we need to do whatever we can do to recognize any spiritual benefit we're going to be to someone else is coming from a power that is not our own. So if we're going to do any good for someone, it is because of Jesus Christ and his transforming power that is in us. Number two, witness of Christ. Keep your focus on him. He is the life changer. Without his transforming power, we can accomplish no spiritual good. We live within the fact that he has gathered us to be his ambassadors. We are his workers, if you will. We are the ones who to go out and accomplish what he would in this world. And so it would certainly not make any sense for us to talk about ourselves or our agenda. Yes, we are the workers of God. And as his workers, we have been given a sacred trust. But anything we're going to do in accomplishing that work comes from a power that is not our own. Number three, we need to borrow John's purpose from 20:31 in what we say. And if I could, I would read it like this. Let our lives be this example that he gives us. These things I'm telling you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What a great way to live a life, pointing to the Savior. Father, we thank you that we could look into your word today, see the example of John and how he handled himself with questioning from religious authorities that were asking him personal questions. And yet he deflected all of that onto you. Lord, forgive us in our lives when we make ourselves significant. Lord, you are the difference maker in this life. And it is you that we want to exalt in what we say and what we do. Let us lay our hearts before you as we prepare for communion. In Christ's name, amen.